am positive. It is going to rain, so you need a rainy day fund. Now, obviously, $1,000 isn't going to catch all of these big things, but it will catch the little ones until the emergency fund is fully funded. The emergency fund is not for buying things or for vacation. It is for emergencies only. No cheating. Do you know who Murphy is? Murphy is that guy with all those negative laws, like, if it can go wrong, it will. For years, I have worked with people who felt that Murphy was a member of their family. A total money makeover is no guarantee of a trouble-free life, but my observation has been that trouble, Murphy, is not as welcome in homes that have an emergency fund. Saving money for emergencies is Murphy repellent. Being broke all the time seems to attract old Murphy to set up residence. Most of America uses credit cards to catch all of life's little emergencies. Some of these so-called emergencies are events like Christmas. Christmas is not an emergency. It doesn't sneak up on you. Christmas is always in December. They don't move it, and therefore it is not an emergency. Your car will need repairs, and your kids will outgrow their clothes. These are not emergencies. They are items that belong in your budget. If you don't budget for them, they will feel like emergencies. Whether the emergency is real or just poor planning, the cycle of dependence on credit cards has to be broken. A well-planned budget for anticipated things and an emergency fund for the truly unexpected can end dependence on credit cards. The first major step to your total money makeover is to begin the emergency fund. A small start is to save $1,000 in cash fast. If you have a household income under $20,000 per year, use $500 for your beginner fund. Stop everything and focus. Since I hate debt so much, people often ask why we don't start with the debt. I used to do that when I first started teaching and counseling, but I discovered that people would stop their whole total money makeover because of an emergency. The alternator on the car would go out, and that $300 repair ruined the whole plan because the purchase had to go on a credit card since there was no emergency fund. Where I live, if you make $12,000 on an investment, you will pay taxes. If you are in a 30% tax bracket, you will pay $3,600 in taxes at ordinary income rates, or $2,400 if you invest at capital gains rates. So you will not net $4,000, but instead $400 to $1,600. But we aren't through yet. If I own the home next to you and have no debt, and you, because of your investment advisor guy, borrowed $100,000 on your home, who has taken more risk? When the economy moves south, and there is war or rumors of war, when you get sick or have a car wreck or are downsized, you will run into major problems with a $100,000 mortgage that I will never have. So debt causes risk to increase. Since debt causes increased risk, we must mathematically factor in a reduction in return if we are sophisticated investors. If you can make 12% on a mutual fund, and I try to get you to invest in a bet on the roulette wheel, which will return you 500%, you would automatically say the two don't compare. Why? Risk. Common sense tells you not to compare mutual funds and roulette wheel returns without adjusting the returns for risk. Common sense tells you to discount the 500% upside of the roulette wheel because of risk. After discounting the roulette wheel for risk, you would rather have the mutual fund. Good choice. Actually, this is done in academia as well. Graduate-level financial people are taught mathematical formulas to make risky investments compare apples to apples with safer investments after adjustment for risk. We just never apply that formula to a debt-free home versus a mortgaged and invested home, which is very naive. The bottom line is that after adjusting for taxes and risk, the debt-free person will actually come out ahead. When you pay off your home and you have no payments, try something. Sit down on your paid-for back porch and take off your paid-for shoes. Now stand up and walk across your paid-for grass in the backyard. It feels different. Common sense. Myth. Take out a 30-year mortgage and promise yourself to pay it like a 15-year, so if something goes wrong, you'll have wiggle room. Truth. Something will go wrong. One thing I am sure of, in my total money makeover, I had to quit telling myself that I had innate discipline and a fabulous natural self-control. That is a lie. If you put $378 per month in a cookie jar for just 10 months, you have almost $4,000 for a cash car. I'm not suggesting you drive a $4,000 car your whole life, but that's how you start without debt. Then you can save the same amount again and trade up to an $8,000 car 10 months later and up to a $12,000 car 10 months after that. In just 30 months, or 2.5 years, you can drive a paid-for $12,000 car, never having had a car payment, and never have to make payments again. Taking on car payments because everyone else does not make it smart. Will your broke relatives and friends make fun of your junk car while you do this? Sure they will. But that is a very good sign you're on the right track. Having been a millionaire and gone broke, I dug my way out by making a decision about looking good versus being good. Looking good is when your broke friends are impressed by what you drive, and being good is having more money than they have. Are you starting to realize that the total money makeover is also in your heart? You have to reach the point that what people think is not your primary motivator. Reaching the goal is the motivator. When the goal, not how you look, begins to matter, you are on your way to a total money makeover. Today, I drive a very nice, very expensive, slightly used car. But it wasn't always that way. After going broke, I drove a borrowed 400,000-mile Cadillac with a vinyl roof torn loose across the front so that it filled up with air like a parachute when I drove it. The predominant color on this puppy was Bondo. I drove the Bondo buggy for what felt like 10 years during 1 3-month period. I had dropped from a Jaguar to a borrowed Bondo buggy. This was not fun. But I knew that if I would live like no one else, later, I could live like no one else. Today, I am convinced that my wife and I are able to do anything we want financially, partially because of the car sacrifices we made in the early days. I believe with everything within me that we are winning because of the heart change that allowed us to drive old, beat-up cars in order to win. If you insist on driving new cars with payments your whole life, you will literally blow a life fortune on them. If you are willing to sacrifice for a while, I have to put systems and programs in place that make me do smart things. A big part of being strong financially is that you know where you are weak and take action to make sure you don't fall prey to the weaknesses. And we are all weak. Sick children, bad transmissions, prom dresses, high heat bills, and dog vaccinations come up and you won't make the extra payment. Grow up. The FDIC says that 97.3% of people don't systematically prepay extra on their mortgage. If you have a $110,000 mortgage at a 7% interest rate, you will pay $732 per month for 30 years for a grand total of $263,520 over the life of the mortgage. If you pay back the same mortgage in 15 years, you will pay $988 per month, but only pay $177,840 over the life of the mortgage. You save $85,680. $256 more per month and you will save almost $100,000 and 15 years of bondage. The really interesting thing I have observed is that 15-year mortgages always pay off in 15 years. If you must take out a mortgage, pretend only 15-year mortgages exist. Myth. It is wise to use the lower rates offered by an ARM mortgage or balloon mortgage if you know you'll be moving in a few years anyway. Truth. You will be moving when they foreclose. The adjustable rate mortgage, in which your interest rate goes up when prevailing market interest rates go up, was born to transfer the risk of higher interest rates to you, the consumer. In the last several years, home mortgage rates have been at a 30 or 40-year low. It is not wise to get something that adjusts when you're at the bottom rates. Balloon mortgages are even worse. Balloons pop. And it is always strange to me that the popping sound is so startling. Why don't we expect it? It is in the very nature of balloons to pop. When your entire mortgage is due in 36 or 60 months, you send out engraved invitations to Murphy. Myth. The home equity loan is good to have instead of an emergency fund. Truth. Again, emergencies are precisely when you don't need debt. The home equity loan is one of the most aggressively marketed loans today. The average American in debt to his eyeballs has exhausted all means of borrowing except the big second mortgage on his home. This is very sad because we now put our homes at risk. You can have the life fortune and drive quality cars. I'd opt for the millionaire's strategy. Myth. Leasing a car is what sophisticated people do. You should lease things that go down in value and take the tax advantage. Truth. Consumer advocates, noted experts, and a good calculator will confirm that the car lease, fleece, is the most expensive way to operate a vehicle. Consumer Reports, Smart Money Magazine, and My Calculator tell me that leasing a car is the worst possible way to acquire a vehicle. In effect, you are renting to own. The cost of capital, which is the interest rate, is extremely high. Yet, most new car deals this year will be a lease. They're bad. Sorry, that's my impression of a sheep getting fleeced. The average interest rate is 14%. Shouldn't you lease or rent things that go down in value? Not necessarily, and the math doesn't work on a car for sure. Follow me through this example. If you lease a car with a value of $22,000 for 3 years, and when you turn it in at the end of that 3-year lease, the car is worth $10,000, someone has to cover the $12,000 loss. You're not stupid, so you know that General Motors, Ford, Chrysler, or any of the other auto giants aren't going to put together a plan to lose money. Smart Money Magazine quotes the National Auto Dealers Association, NADA, as stating the average new car purchase for cash makes the dealer an $82 profit. When the dealer can get you to finance with them, they sell the financing contract and make an average of $775 per car. But if they can get you to fleece the car, the dealer can sell that fleece to the local bank or GMAC, Ford Motor Credit, Chrysler Credit, Toyota Credit, etc., for an average of $1,300. The typical car dealer makes their money in the finance office and the shop, not in the sale of new cars. Car fleecing is exploding because dealers know it is their largest profit center. Myth. You can get a good deal on a new car at 0% interest. Truth. A new car loses 60% of its value in the first 4 years. That isn't 0%. You can't afford a new car unless you are a millionaire and can therefore afford to lose thousands of dollars all in the name of the neat new car smell. If you use debt after swearing off it, you lose the momentum to keep going. It is like eating 7 pounds of ice cream on Friday after losing 2 pounds that week. You feel sick, like a failure. So start with a little fund to catch the little things before beginning to dump the debt. The beginner fund will keep life's little Murphys from turning into new debt while you work off the old debt. If a real emergency happens, you have to handle it with your emergency fund. No more borrowing. You have to break the cycle. Twist and wring out the budget, work extra hours or sell something, but quickly get your $1,000. Most of you should hit this step in less than a month. If it looks like it is going to take longer, do something radical. Work part-time. Get crazy. You are way too close to the edge of falling over a major money cliff here. When you get the $1,000, hide it. You can't keep the money handy because it will get spent. You can put it in the bank savings account, but don't attach the savings account to your checking to protect you from overdrafting, because then your emergency fund will get spent on impulse. I have had to learn to protect myself from me. We are not putting the money in the bank to earn money, but rather to make it hard to get. Since $1,000 at 4% earns only $40 per year, you aren't getting rich here, just finding a safe place to park money. What if you already have more than $1,000? Wow, that was easy, wasn't it? If you already have the $1,000 in anything other than retirement plans, get it out. If it is a certificate of deposit with penalties, take the penalty for early withdrawal and get it out. If it is in stocks or bonds, get it out. Your emergency fund, limited to $1,000 in liquid available cash, is all that is acceptable. If you have tried to get fancy with your emergency fund, you are likely to borrow to keep from cashing it, the cool investment, out. What if you are at baby step two and you use $300 from your emergency fund to fix the alternator? If this happens, stop step two and return to step one until the full $1,000 is replenished. Once your beginner emergency fund is funded again, you can return to step two. I know some of you think this step is very simplistic, but for others, this is the step that will be the spiritual and emotional basis for the entire total money makeover. Lily was such a case. A single mom with two kids, she had been divorced for 8 years. Struggle has been a way of life for some time. Lily had survival debt, not stupid spoiled brat debt. A good used car that is less than 3 years old is as reliable, or more reliable, than a new car. A new $28,000 car will lose about $17,000 of value in the first 4 years you own it. That is almost $100 per week in lost value. To understand what I'm talking about, open your window on your way to work once a week and throw out a $100 bill. The average millionaire drives a two-year-old car with no payments. He or she simply bought it. The average millionaire is unwilling to take the loss that the new car dishes out. That is how they became millionaires. Some people want to buy a new car for the warranty. If you lose $17,000 of value over 4 years, on average, you've paid way too much for a warranty. You could have completely rebuilt the car twice for $17,000. Myth. You should get a credit card to build your credit. Truth. You won't use credit with your total money makeover, except maybe for a mortgage, and you don't need a credit card for that. The best myth is the build your credit myth. This myth means we have to get debt so we can get more debt, because debt is how we get stuff. Those of us who have had a total money makeover have found that cash buys stuff better than debt. The one question we must answer is, how do we get a home mortgage? Later, I will introduce you to the 100% down plan. Or if you have to, how to settle for a 15-year fixed-rate mortgage. But if you want that 15-year fixed rate with a payment that is no more than 25% of your take-home pay, so I won't yell about it, don't you need credit? No. You will need to find a mortgage company that does actual underwriting. That means they are professional enough to process the details of your life instead of using only a Beacon score, lending for dummies. You can get a mortgage if you have lived right. Let me define lived right. You can qualify for a conventional 15-year fixed-rate loan if, 1, you have paid your landlord early or on time for 2 years. 2, you have been in the same career field for 2 years. 3, you have a good down payment, which is more than nothing down. 4, you have no other credit, good or bad. 5, you are not trying to take too big a loan. A payment that totals 25% of take-home pay is conservative and will help you qualify. Don't let anyone tell you to go into debt to make way for a mortgage. That is a lie. A quality mortgage professional can get you into a home if he or she knows how to do underwriting. To go on vacation, open a business, consolidate debt, or just for an emergency fund. Families come to us in dire straits when the home equity loan is their last bad mistake and the straw that breaks the camel's back. The banking industry calls these home equity loans HELs for short. And my experience tells me they simply left off an L. These loans are very dangerous, and an unbelievable amount of them are in foreclosure. Even a conservative person who doesn't have credit card debt and pays cash for vacations can make the mistake of the HEL by setting up a loan or line of credit just for emergencies. Most HELs are renewable annually, meaning they re-qualify you for the loan once a year. Ed and Sally didn't realize this. Ed is a very sophisticated financial guy, or so he thought. So he had an HEL for emergencies. Sally had a bad car wreck, and within 3 months, Ed got downsized. They quickly went through the HEL and then got behind in their bills. The annual renewal came on the HEL, and the bank chose not to renew their loan because of their bad credit, which had been perfect for the previous 17 years of marriage. The bank called the note. Ed couldn't believe the bank would kick them out when they were down. The note being called meant they had to refinance to pay off the bank, but guess what? They couldn't because their credit was bad. The end result was very sad. They sold their home to avoid foreclosure. Ed was wrong. They should have had an emergency fund instead of a loan. Myth: you can't pay cash for a home. Truth: bet me. I don't borrow money. Ever. Luke called me from Cleveland to tell me that some of our listeners are doing what Sharon and I have done, the 100% down plan. Pay cash. Most people don't think that can be done. Luke did it. Luke made really good money. His income at 23 years old was $50,000, and he married a young lady making $30,000. His grandfather had preached to him never to borrow money. So Luke and his new bride lived in a very small apartment over a rich lady's garage. They paid only $250 a month for it. They lived on nothing and did nothing that cost money, and they saved. Man, did they save. Making $80,000 in the household, they saved $50,000 a year for 3 years and paid cash for a $150,000 home. They closed on the home on Luke's wife's 26th birthday. She had been ripped off with a super high interest car loan, check advance debt, and lots of credit card debt. She had a take-home pay of only $1,200 per month with two baby birds to feed, along with a host of greedy rip-off lenders. Saving seemed like such a fairy tale to her that she had long ago lost hope of ever being able to save money. When I met her, she had already begun her total money makeover. After hearing me teach the baby steps at a live event, weeks later she dropped by a book signing to give me an unsolicited report. As she moved through the book line, I looked up and saw a huge grin. She asked if she could give me a big hug to say thanks. How could I turn that down? As I looked at her, tears began to run down her cheeks as she gleefully told me of fighting through a budget, her first ever. She told me of years of struggle. Then she laughed, and everyone in line, now fully engaged, cheered when she said she now has $500 in cash saved. This is the first $500 in her adult life that is earmarked for an emergency fund. This is the first time she has had money between her and Murphy. Her friend Amy, who was with Lily that day, told me that Lily is a different person already. Amy said even her face has changed now that she has peace. Don't be confused. It wasn't $500 that did all that. What caused Lily's liberation was her newfound hope. She has hope that she has never had before. She has hope because she has a sense of power and control over money. Money has been an enemy her whole life, and now that she has tamed it, money is going to be Lily's new lifelong companion. How about you? Now is the time to decide, is this theory or is it real? Am I a simpleton kook, or have I found something that works? Keep listening, and we will decide together.
Another Total Money Makeover Success Story. My name is Stephen. I'm 28, I'm debt-free, and I have brain cancer. I found Dave Ramsey on the radio and became a fan immediately. Growing up, I had accepted debt as a part of life. At first, I tried to get my wife, Sandy, to buy into the Total Money Makeover plan. To say she was reluctant might be the understatement of the year, especially when she figured out we would have to sell her 2000 Toyota 4Runner to become debt-free. We sat down together and looked at our overall financial picture. We owed about $46,000. We knew we had to change. She started tuning in to Dave, and we started discussing our finances. We agreed to start the baby steps mentioned in the Total Money Makeover. We simply followed what Dave taught. It took us 12 months to kill $46,000 in debt. We sold a bunch of stuff. We moved twice to save money on rent. As Dave would say, we got gazelle intense. Every sacrifice was worth it. We've never felt more alive. After becoming debt-free, we were able to give our part-time business a full-time chance. Still following Dave's advice, we opened a medical savings account, MSA, and secured 20-year term insurance. Along with deciding to become debt-free, the MSA and term insurance have literally saved our lives. This past year, I was diagnosed with an inoperable form of brain cancer at the ripe old age of 28. The MSA that we chose has a $5,000 deductible, but it covers 100% of anything above the deductible. My medical bills approached $100,000 within the first 2 months. The MSA, along with our term insurance, saved our financial lives. Even after I'm gone, I know my beautiful 23-year-old wife will be taken care of. It's all because of Dave's advice. I can't imagine worrying about making payments on $46,000 in debt and worrying about coming up with the cash to cover our part of an 80-20 insurance plan, or wishing I'd taken the time to set up term insurance to take care of my wife. Thanks to Dave, Sandy and I can stand side by side and fight this fight. With God's help, we will win. Steve, self-employed.
Chapter 7, The Debt Snowball. Lose weight fast, really. Your total money makeover is dependent upon using your most powerful tools. I believe with everything within me that your most powerful wealth-building tool is your income. Ideas, strategies, goals, vision, focus, and even creative thinking are vastly important. But until you get control and full use of your income to build wealth, you will not build and keep wealth. Some of you might inherit money or win a jackpot, but that is dumb luck, not a proven plan to financial fitness. To build wealth, you will have to regain control of your income. The bottom line is that it is easy to become wealthy if you don't have any payments. You may get sick of hearing it, but the key to winning any battle is to identify the enemy. The math is revealing. The typical American with a $40,000 annual income would normally have an $850 house payment and a $350 car payment, with an additional $180 payment on the second car. They lived like no one else. And now, they are living like no one else. If you make $80,000 per year and don't have any payments, you can become very wealthy very quickly. Keep in mind, though, that Luke's friends and relatives thought he should be committed. They made fun of his cars, his lifestyle, and his dream. Only his bride and his grandfather believed in his dream. Who cares what the broke people think? Well, there it is. Baby step 6, debt-free and loving it. Our observation of families who stay gazelle intense is that they pay off the mortgage about 7 years from the date they decide to have a total money makeover. I'm sure by now you are reassured that this is not a get-rich-quick audiobook. What kind of author would tell a microwave culture that it takes an average of 7 years to reach the last baby step? What kind of author would tell a soundbite culture that the first two steps take a very tough 2 or 2.5 years? An author who has seen it done tens of thousands of times by ordinary people with extraordinary desire would do that. The same author who tells you, it's not easy, just worth it. I have used the emotional tag with radio audiences and live audiences that the grass will feel different under your feet when you own it. When you pay off the mortgage, have a barefoot mortgage-burning party and invite all your friends, relatives, and neighbors. Maybe they will catch the bug and want a total money makeover when they see yours is really working. Chapter 12. Build Wealth Like Crazy. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Mr. Universe of Money. You have reached that perfect number, baby step 7. By reaching the last step of your total money makeover, you have entered the top 2% of Americans. You are totally debt-free. No house payment, no car payment. You are not mastered by a card. You have not discovered bondage. American excess has left your life, and you are free. You live on a monthly written plan and agree on it with your spouse if you're married. You have a retirement destiny that looks considerably better than Alpo and Social Insecurity. If you have children, they will be students without a student loan. You have lived like no one else. So now, you will be able to live like no one else. Through sweat and sacrifice, you have reclaimed control of your life and your most powerful wealth-building tool, your income. Baby step 7, build wealth. What is the purpose of your having a total money makeover? Why did you do it? Why all the sacrifice and work? As for building credit for other stuff, leave that to the losers. With your total money makeover, you won't be taking on that kind of debt. No way. Myth: you need a credit card to rent a car, check into a hotel, or buy online. Truth: a debit card will do all of that. The Visa debit card or other check cards that are connected to your checking account give you the ability to do virtually anything a credit card will do. Some rental car places don't take debit cards, but most do. I buy things online and stay in hotels using my debit card all the time. Myth: the debit card has more risk than a credit card. Truth: nope. Supposed financial experts have spread this myth to the point that it is virtually urban legend. The fact is, Visa's regulations require the member bank to afford the debit card the exact same protections in cases of theft or fraud. Myth: if you pay off your credit card every month, you get the free use of someone else's money. Truth: CardTrack says 60% don't pay off their credit cards every month. When you play with snakes, you get bitten. I have heard all the bait put out there to lure the unsuspecting into the pit. A free hat, airline miles, brownie points back, free use of someone else's money, a discount at the register, the list goes on, and you get to sign up for a credit card. Have you ever asked why they work so hard to get you involved? The answer is that you lose and they win. You won't wear the hat, and Consumer Reports says that 75% of the airline miles are never redeemed. Maybe you think, I pay mine off, so I'm using their money. I'm winning. Wrong again. A study by Dun & Bradstreet showed that the credit card user spends 12 to 18% more when using credit instead of cash. It hurts when you spend cash, and therefore you spend less. The big question is, what do millionaires do? They don't get rich with free hats, brownie points, air miles, and the use of someone else's money. What do broke people do? They use credit cards. An American Bankruptcy Institute study of bankruptcy filers revealed that 69% of filers say credit card debt caused the bankruptcy. Broke people use credit cards. Rich people don't. I rest my case. Myth. Make sure your teenager gets a credit card so he or she will learn to be responsible with money. Truth. Getting a credit card for your teenager is an excellent way to teach him or her to be financially irresponsible. To be in debt and out of control doesn't take nearly as much effort. Why go to all this trouble? Why do you want to have wealth? If you think wealth will answer all life's questions and make you trouble-free, you are delusional. Wealth is not an escape mechanism. It is instead a tremendous responsibility. So what would you do if you had $18 million that it took you 40 years to acquire? After years of studying, teaching, and even preaching on this subject across America, I can find only three good uses for money. Money is good for fun, money is good to invest, and money is good to give. Most anything else you find to do with it doesn't represent good mental and spiritual health on your part. So if you one day have $18 million, you should do all three of these things. In fact, while you are working the steps to wealth, you should be doing all three of these things. At this stage in the total money makeover, you are Arnold Schwarzenegger, Mr. Universe of Money, with serious abs, pecs, and quads. You have all this financial muscle, so now you should do something intentional with it. We built this financial superbody for a reason: to have fun, invest, and give. Yes, we get to have fun. The kid in us likes the fun part of this equation. And since we have made this kid behave for a long time with promises of ice cream, if he does so, he should get some ice cream. Should anyone wear a $30,000 watch? Should anyone drive a brand new $50,000 car? Should anyone live in a $700,000 home? Absolutely they should. The problem with people is they buy those things when they can't afford them. We talked about new cars and what a bad investment they are. Roughly 70% of the people I assist in a total money makeover have to make the difficult decision to sell their car. So some days my talk radio show becomes the sell the car show. Some days it seems my answer to every question is sell the car. Make sure you understand one reason to have a total money makeover is to build wealth that allows you to have fun. So have some fun. Taking your family, even the extended ones, on a 7-day cruise, buying large diamonds, or even buying new cars are things you can afford to do when you have millions of dollars. You can afford to do these things because when you do them, your money position is hardly even affected. That guilt-free enjoyment is one of the three reasons to have a total money makeover. The grown-up inside us likes the investing of money because that is the part that makes us wealthy. Also, the growing dollars are a way of keeping score in our total money makeover game. Are we winning? It truly becomes a game. That's why teens are now the number one target of credit card companies. Parents must instead teach the teenager to just say no. Anyone visiting a college campus in recent years has been shocked at the aggressive and senseless marketing of credit cards to people who don't have jobs. The results can be devastating. Recently, two college students in Oklahoma gave up on their credit card debt and committed suicide with the bills lying on the bed beside them. The reason that lenders market so aggressively to teens is brand loyalty. The lenders' studies have found that we consumers are very loyal to the first bank that certifies our adulthood by issuing us plastic. When I am doing an appearance and cutting up credit cards, the emotional attachment many people have to the first card they got in college is amazing. They clutch it like it's an old boyfriend or girlfriend. Brand loyalty is real. Several hundred schools across America are now using our high school curriculum called Financial Peace for the Next Generation. The results have been staggering. Teens latch on to the Total Money Makeover before they even need one. A recent graduate of the program, 15-year-old Chelsea, said, "I think this class has totally changed my life. Whenever I see someone using a credit card, I think, whoa, how could they do that to their life? I always thought you had to have credit card payments, house payments, and car payments. Now I realize you don't have to." Very cool, Chelsea. You have to start teaching kids early because kitty branding is now commonplace. A few years back, Mattel put out Cool Shopping Barbie, which was sponsored by MasterCard. Of course, this cool babe had her own MasterCard. In my home, our kids are on commission, not allowance. Work and get paid, don't work and don't get paid. Kind of like the real world. Our children put their newly earned money in envelopes labeled save, spend, and give. When a child learns to work, save, spend, and give under a mature parent's direction, the child can avoid the messages that say, a credit card equals prosperity. Myth: debt consolidation saves interest and you have only one smaller payment. Truth: debt consolidation is dangerous because you treat only the symptom. Debt consolidation, it's nothing more than a con because you think you've actually done something about your debt problem. The debt is still there, as are the habits that caused it. You just moved it. You can't borrow your way out of debt. You can't get out of a hole by digging out the bottom. Then there is a $165 student loan payment, and the average credit card debt is about $12,000, making those monthly payments around $185 per month. Also, this typical household will have other miscellaneous debt on things like furniture, stereos, or personal loans on which they pay an additional $120. All these payments total $1,850 per month. If this family were to invest that, instead of sending it to creditors, they would be a cash mutual fund millionaire in just 15 years. After 15 years, it gets really exciting. They'll have $2 million in 5 more years, $3 million in 3 more years, $4 million in 2.5 more years, $5 million in 2 more years. So they will have $5 million after 28 years. Keep in mind, this is with an average income, which means many of you make more than this. If you make $40,000 and have fewer payments, you have a head start since you already have more control of your income than most people. With a take-home pay of $2,850, could you invest $1,850 if you had no payments? All you have to pay for is utilities, food, clothes, insurance, and other miscellaneous expenses. That would be tight, but doable. If you do that for just 15 years, you will have a pinnacle experience. I will explain that later. Many of you listening are convinced that you could become wealthy if you could get out of debt. The problem is now that you are feeling more and more trapped by the debt. I have great news. I have a foolproof but very difficult method for getting out of debt. Most people won't do it because they are average, but not you. You have already figured out that if you will live like no one else, later you can live like no one else. You are sick and tired of being sick and tired, so you are willing to pay the price for greatness. This is the toughest of all the baby steps to your total money makeover. It is so hard, but it is so worth it. This step is where all your broke friends and relatives will make fun of you or join you. This step requires you to shave your head and drink the Kool-Aid. Just kidding, but not too much. Your focused intensity has to go off the scale. If you really believe that wealth building will no longer be a dream, but a reality, if you had no payments, you will be willing to do bizarre and sacrificial things to have no payments. Time to pay off the debt. Baby step two, start the debt snowball. The way we pay off the debt is called the debt snowball. The debt snowball process is simple to understand, but will require truckloads of effort. Remember what my pastor said, it isn't complicated, but it is difficult. We have discussed that personal finance is 80% behavior and 20% head knowledge. The debt snowball is designed the way it is because we are more concerned with modifying behavior than correct mathematics. You'll see what I mean shortly. Being a certified nerd, I always used to start with making the math work. I have learned that the math does need to work, but sometimes motivation is more important than math. This is one of those times. The debt snowball method requires you to list all of your debts in order of smallest payoff balance to largest. List all your debts except your home. We will get to that in another step. List all of your debts, even loans from mom and dad or medical debts that have zero interest. I don't care if there is interest or not. I don't care if some have 24% interest and others have 4% interest. List the debts smallest payoff to largest. If you were so fabulous with math, you wouldn't have debt, so try this my way. The only time to pay off a larger debt sooner than a smaller one is some kind of big-time emergency, such as owing the IRS and having them come after you, or in situations where there will be a foreclosure if you don't pay it off. Otherwise, don't argue about it. Just list the debts smallest to largest. The reason we list smallest to largest is to have some quick wins. This is the behavior modification over math part I referred to earlier. Face it, if you go on a diet and lose weight the first week, you will stay on that diet. If you go on a diet and go 6 weeks with no visible progress, you will quit. I don't care if you have a master's degree in psychology. You need quick wins to get fired up. And getting fired up is super important. When you pay off a nagging $52 medical bill or that $122 cell phone bill from 8 months ago, your life is not changed that much mathematically yet. You have, however, begun a process that works, and you will be fired up about the fact that it works. After you list the debts smallest to largest, pay the minimum payment to stay current on all the debts except the smallest. Every dollar you can find from anywhere in your budget goes toward the smallest debt until it is paid. Once the smallest is paid, the payment from that debt plus any extra found money is added to the next smallest debt. Trust me, once you get going, you will find money. Larry Burkett says, debt is not the problem, it is the symptom. I feel debt is the symptom of overspending and undersaving. A friend of mine works for a debt consolidation firm whose internal statistics estimate that 78% of the time after someone consolidates their credit card debt, the debt grows back. Why? They still don't have a game plan to either pay cash or not buy at all, and they haven't saved for unexpected events, which will also become debt. Debt consolidation seems appealing, because there is a lower interest rate on some of the debt and a lower payment. In almost every case we review, though, we find the lower payment exists not because the rate is actually lower, but because the term is extended. If you stay in debt longer, you get a lower payment. If you stay in debt longer, you pay the lender more, which is why they're in the business of debt consolidation. The answer is not the interest rate. The answer is a total money makeover. Myth: borrowing 125% on my home is wise because I'll restructure my debt. Truth: you are stuck in the house, which is really dumb. On today's radio show, I took a call from a desperate man facing bankruptcy. He had borrowed $42,000 on a second mortgage, a rip-off 125% loan. Dan's existing balance on his first mortgage was $110,000, making his total new mortgage debt $152,000. Dan's home was worth $125,000, so he owed $27,000 more on his home than it is worth. He lost his job 2 months ago, and luckily has just found a job in another state, but he can't sell his home. He had the same job for 16 years and thought he had security. But now, just a few months later, he is in the soup. My suggestion to Dan was that he call the second mortgage ripoff lender and get an acknowledgement of the truth that there really isn't any collateral for this loan. They wouldn't foreclose in 100 years, but they will sue him when the first mortgage company forecloses. So, after asking the second mortgage lender to release the lien for whatever proceeds above the first mortgage come from a sale, Dan will sign a note and make payments on the rest. Dan will have payments for years to come on a second mortgage for a home he no longer owns, but like most folks, his second mortgage was to pay off move debt he already had on credit cards, medical bills, and other life issues. Today, with a job in another state, Dan would rather have all his old debt back and his home where he could sell it easily. Sometimes I meet people who arrive at this step and are scared because just as they reach retirement age, their investments are heading down. Never fear. If you have quality investments, they will come back. Besides, you don't need all the nest egg it wants to retire on. You just need some of the income from it. Be patient with the market while living off the income the nest egg produces. You can choose to be a little more sophisticated, but until you have over $10 million, I would keep your investing very simple. You can clutter your life with a bunch of unnecessary stress by getting into extremely complex investments. I use simple mutual funds and debt-free real estate as my investment mix. Very clean, simple investments with some basic tax advantages. Always manage your own money. You should surround yourself with a team of people smarter than you, but you make the decisions. God did not give them the responsibility over this money. He gave that to you. Celebrities and pro athletes often lose their entire fortunes because they give up the responsibility of managing their own money. The Bible states in the multitude of counsel, there's safety. With baby step 7, build wealth, there is a subsection B, another milestone. The second milestone within becoming wealthy is the pinnacle point. Growing up in the suburbs in Tennessee, I grew accustomed to riding a bike and facing hills. To a 7-year-old with one gear, a huge hill looked like Mount Everest. I don't know which kid in history did it first, but the technique for small guy bike hill climbing has been passed down for generations. The switchback. Instead of pedaling straight up, we would painfully go side to side, taking a small bite at a time of our Tennessee mountain. The unpopular players' baseball cards made a slow click, click, click through the spokes as we made our ascent. The heat seemed oven-like, and the beads of sweat turned into rivers. You pull on the handlebars with all the power your arm muscles will produce to push your legs down on the pedals one more time. Push, push, breathe, breathe. Until you finally reach the top. What do you find at the top? Those of us that have pushed up some unbelievable hills know what I found that Tennessee summer day at the top of the hill. I found that perfect moment. The perfect moment when you push the pedal one last time before going down a huge hill on the other side. The perfect moment where you hang in the balance after all the sweat, the work, and the agony, and a smile breaks across your face. Myth. If no one used debt, our economy would collapse. Truth. Nope. It would prosper. The occasional economics teacher feels the need to pose this ridiculous scenario. So let's pretend for the fun of it. What if every single American stopped using debt of any kind in 1 year? The economy would collapse. What if every single American stopped using debt of any kind over the next 50 years? A gradual, total money makeover. The economy would prosper, although banks and other lenders would suffer. Do I see tears anywhere? Think with me for a moment. What would people do if they didn't have any payments? They would save, and they would spend, not support banks. Saving and investing would cause wealth to be built at an unprecedented level. Giving would increase, and many social problems would be privatized. Thus, the government could get out of the welfare business. Then taxes could come down, and we would have even more wealth. As that great philosopher Austin Powers said, "Capitalism, yeah, baby!" Those who are worried about the widening gap between the haves and the have-nots need not look to government to solve the problem. Just call for a national, total money makeover. Are you beginning to understand that debt is not a tool? It is a method to make banks wealthy, not you. The borrower truly is servant to the lender. How much could you give every month, save every month, and spend every month if you had no payments? Your income is your greatest wealth-building tool, not debt. Your total money makeover begins with a permanent changed view of the debt myths.
Another total money makeover success story. The most valuable lesson I learned had nothing to do with the green paper that becomes such an idol to so many people. It was about trusting God. Having been a single mom for 14 years to two sons, now ages 19 and 20, I wanted more than anything in the world to make up to them what I felt they never got, because they were not raised in a married household. Unfortunately, I used the credit card to soothe away some of the pain I saw on their faces today, and tried not to think about the reality of what I was doing to my own future tomorrows. But tomorrow does come. And all of a sudden, children are almost grown and gone, and I'm left with the finance charges and the balances, and the feeling that pulling out that credit card was a big mistake. When I look back on my life, I wish I had learned many years ago to place my trust in God first above everything and everyone else.
When the debt number two is paid off, you take the money that you used to pay on number one and number two, and you pay it, plus any found money, on number three. When three is paid, you attack four, and so on. All the money from old debts and all the money you can find anywhere goes on the smallest until it is gone. Attack! Every time the snowball rolls over, it picks up more snow and gets larger, until by the time you get to the bottom, you have an avalanche. Most people get to the bottom of the list and find that now they can pay well over $1,000 per month on a car loan or a student loan. At that point, it won't take long to bust out and be debt-free except for the house. That is baby step two. Use the debt snowball to become debt-free except for your home. The major elements of making the debt snowball work are using a budget, getting current before you start, smallest to largest payoff, no cheating, sacrifice, and focused intensity. Total, sold out, focused intensity is possibly the most important. This means saying to yourself and meaning it, to the exclusion of virtually everything else, I'm getting out of debt. Proverbs 6, 1 and 5, loosely paraphrased, says, "If you have signed surety, my son," surety is Bible talk for debt, "deliver yourself like the bird from the hand of the fowler and the gazelle from the hand of the hunter." I remember reading that Bible verse and thinking what a cute little animal metaphor it was for getting out of debt. Later that week, I was surfing channels one day and hit the Discovery Channel. I noticed they were filming gazelles. The gazelles were peacefully grazing around. Of course, you know the Discovery Channel wasn't there just for the gazelles. The next camera shot was of Mr. Cheetah sneaking up in the bushes looking for lunch. Suddenly, one of the gazelles got a whiff of Mr. Cheetah. The other gazelles noticed the alarm and soon also were on edge. They couldn't yet see the cheetah, So out of fear of running at him, they froze until he played his cards. Realizing he had been discovered, Mr. Cheetah decided to give it his best shot and leaped from the bushes. The gazelles all yelled, "Cheetah!" Well, not really, but they did run like crazy in 14 different directions. The Discovery Channel reminded viewers that the cheetah is the fastest mammal on dry land. He can go from 0 to 45 miles per hour in 4 leaps. The show also proved that because the gazelle